So, Kevin, Rashana, please, yeah, please take the floor and school it. And school me was try help me get caught up on what's going on.
Well, SmackDown itself, it was okay. You know, I can see a possible storyline forming on between, what was it? Oh, actually, before we get to that, let's talk about the releases. WWE put out a release list from yesterday. Braun Strowman was probably the biggest surprise. Well, maybe, maybe not. Caden Carter, Katana Chance was out. And Dakota Kai. They were the main ones. There was another list that was added that you sent me. I just scrolled through and saw it this morning, Mel. So, I guess the bigger question is, were you surprised by any other releases that came about?
I wasn't surprised with none of them, including Braun Strowman. Because right now, the way they have them going on, as we bringing in YouTube, Facebook, and everybody else, how y'all doing? And we're talking wrestling here. There was no direction for either of them. And when you have that kind of setting, when it's set up like that, where they have everything constructed and you're losing matches and just to bump everybody else out there, I mean, you can tell by each one of their very last matches that, you know, their time was coming to an end. Either they're taking time off for an injury, or there's just nothing else creative going on for them. And at that point, they make better money. They make the better money, you know, going out there on the independent circuit.
True.
Okay, who's trying to be there?
Huh? So I've heard that Wardlow, who was actually in AEW,
yes,
is coming over.
Really?
So that's the person. Yes. Because he hasn't been happy with AEW, and he hasn't been on taping for a while. I do know that he has had a few injuries, but yeah. I think he's coming. I don't know if it's buzzing or if I just started it, but honestly, I think the doctor is going to come in. Britt Baker, DMD, may be coming as well.
Ooh.
So it ought to be pretty interesting who's all going to show up and, you know, especially along the lines from AEW. I do know that it is a lot of people that are starting to come on over.
All right. Well, can I talk about, can you school me on what's going on with some of those guys that is on there? Because I've been trying to get a grasp of with AEW. They got some things I like and some things that I think they might need some work on. One of the things I do like is the Hurt Syndicate.
Yes.
We hurt people.
Okay, Bobby.
We hurt people.
I truly love the fact that they are letting the Hurt Syndicate cook. I love it.
Hello.
Hello, darling.
Oh yeah, especially with them and MJF.
Hey, man.
Oh yeah.
Man, Bobby was ready to kill that man the other day.
Yes, he did, but he
Okay, Bobby, I'm sorry.
He was like, listen, if you really want to impress me,
hurt somebody.
That's how you impress me. The cars was great, the chicks was great, the watch was fabulous.
But we are called the Hurt Syndicate.
Right. If you really want to be a part and if you really want to show me, then show me. Hurt somebody. Do something. Don't just talk about it, be about it. Yeah. You know, that sort of thing. I do love the fact that the ops, who consist of Samoa Joe, Powerhouse Hobbs, and and Shibata. I love how they got the trio championship and they are rocking it. I do know that the Handsome Devil was actually supposed to be a part of that championship.
Who?
But he got injured by Moxley.
Yeah, that's how Powerhouse Hobbs ended up becoming the third.
Yes, he did.
Now, if they keep them titles long enough and Hook come back, do you think Hook could trade on them?
Nope. Because, honestly, I think that what's going to end up happening, Hook is going to get one of the trio's titles, and Samoa Joe is going to be the next AEW world champion. Yeah. I can see that happening.
Can you see Moxley coming back to WWE?
Nope. I don't see it.
Is that just a relationship that could never be repaired?
It might be able to be repaired. But, I don't think so. Not even gonna lie to you.
I don't think he'll come back anyway. He got free reign over there in AEW.
Yes, he do. Yep. But other than that, you know, that's what it is. I do know that this weekend is Double or Nothing for AEW. That's their that is their pay-per-view. And also, Mercedes Moné, she goes against Timeless Toni Storm. Hey. And I think that one is going to be a great match because of the fact that you have Mercedes with four titles right now. And she's shooting to be the AEW Women's Champion. She's already the TBS champion in the company. To add that title on there too, I really don't see nobody stopping her right now.
I don't know. I think you're gonna have to reach deep down and find you're gonna have to put it all on the table, because the matches that I done seen with the girl that Mercedes fighting.
Uh huh.
They can end up with a lot of gore factor. she gonna draw blood from you.
Oh, of course.
Like she's like got a nice dark side to her. Hey, it's gonna be a good match though.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a good match. And I'm here for all of the giggles and the foolery. I'm here for it.
I am too.
Yes. So that is your up to date minute on AEW. I wouldn't be surprised about Moxley and Samoa Joe, because I think that's going to be a good match anyway. So, and I think Joe got his number. So, my money is on Joe.
Anybody seen Cody Rhodes since he lost the belt?
Cody is at Disneyland.
Oh, he's on vacation.
He's on vacation.
And well deserved.
Do you see him ever? Do you see him with the belt again?
I don't see him with the belt. I see him with the long reign, though. Of, you know, like unfortunately, like my college team, the Georgia Bulldogs, making it to the dance but never succeeding. I can see him doing that.
Oh, so like losing every title match that comes his direction.
Yeah, I can see that. And then he's, unfortunately, he's about to turn heel. It's gearing. Mm. We just have to find that perfect moment of when you can actually do it. I wouldn't be surprised if you know, The Rock comes in and play his hand. You know. What do y'all think? What are your thoughts?
Well, I have a, here's an interesting theory. So, I think going back to last week, when Zelina Vega finally won her champion, her first taste of gold, right?
Yeah.
How ironic that when she won the match, when won the match for the title, Aleister Black appeared the same night.
Yeah.
So, I think that they had to do right by Zelina with this one. To make Aleister feel welcome.
We love to get cold too quick.
You know? The timing was kind of interesting. Because I thought Aleister Black was going to show up at WrestleMania. At least that's what my I predicted at first.
Each one of us put up a dub.
Yeah.
But,
That worked right there, but that's a neat level drink, pretty much.
Yeah. But, yeah, man, it's very interesting. Now, like I said, and Aleister Black has his old theme music back.
Yeah.
And he's taking it all out. Poor Miz.
So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. So, because even in AEW, I don't see Brody King, I don't see, well, I see him. He's active. I don't really see Buddy Matthews. Julia Hart is active too. Would they be a better force in WWE if they were to portray the House of Black again? Do I think the theatrics will be bigger and better? Absolutely. Do I think they will be a force if they were to carry that into WWE? I think so.
Hmm. Now, I also read something earlier today how, you know, speaking of people who coming over from AEW, and notice it's been a trickle-down effect the last, say, couple months. The former AEW stars are coming to WWE. I'll give you two more. Ray Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, and Penta. Yeah, the pros.
$29. But and it's kind of interesting how both of them have lost on WrestleMania. So the question, I guess, remains is, has WWE fumbled both of them?
I don't think so just yet. Because Penta lost, but Penta never got pinned. Because Dom ended up pinning Finn.
Right.
So, I don't think that's a blemish. Now, for Ray Phoenix, I think it was more of a, you know, he cheated, but he got away with it, and he knocked me out. Because he put that metal piece back in his head.
Yeah.
In his mask. That's how, Americano won.
I thought that match was a joke because to me, it's like you're making a mockery of all the luchadors.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's why, to me, that was the worst match of the card.
Hey, big you shout out what? To
Selena. On Saturday.
I got to say big shout out to Zelina Vega, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we already talked about that.
We already talked about her. Hey. But speaking of Lucha Libre, how do you all feel about the latest acquisition that WWE just got?
Of AAA?
Yep.
Well, it gives them a lot more spotlight.
I ain't hear nothing that they said.
Or we're in the
age. Repeat it again.
I'm saying that it gives them more spotlight.
It does. It brings them out of the forefront.
And I just seen something with about Rey Mysterio coming back and the Triple A dude or whatever. I seen something on Instagram this morning about Rey Mysterio and Triple A.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because majority of the rest, like Stephanie came from there. That's a matter of fact, her title that she had, that's the one that she lost to Mercedes. So Mercedes Moné got that title. That's one of the championships that she holds. Because they did have a Forbidden Door type of deal, even with them. Well, AEW did. Just like AEW got one with New Japan and, you know, with all of the wrestling territories around the country.
I've been seeing rumblings about they trying to out, they trying to get rid of Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
That wouldn't be a great power move, because like it or not, I mean,
I think he's the best thing that happened to keep WWE relevant. He was the best person for the job.
Yeah. And then now they're starting to break the fourth wall, and they're about to start doing like documentaries on Netflix, which I get it. It's a business. You want to show that, hey, in the background, you know, we're all good, but you know, sometimes temperature does rise. And you know, it's just a matter of how so that's what I think.
Episodes of Stephanie's Place?
Yes.
I want to see the Bloodline episode because...
Man, and it was so good humbling.
I seen bits and pieces through Instagram when they was talking, and like pretty much with Roman and the Usos, like with them forming the Bloodline at the time, they just took it back to how they hung out in school. And hung out growing up, period.
So actually, it was all of the Bloodline. So
yeah, it was the whole Bloodline. Yeah, it was Solo, Jacob.
You had Roman, you had the Usos.
You even had Sammy. Solo.
Sammy was there. You had Solo. Then you had Jacob. You had the Tongas. You had all the family. The Bloodline.
Yeah.
And it was a very humbling.
Like looking at all of them without beefing?
Yes. And not only that, you can tell that it's so much about family.
Yeah.
That it was incorporated and instilled in them. But it made them so humble. Even when they did that whole interview, it was a humbling experience. Showed so much grace and humility when they did that. And they did it with so much respect to the elders that came in before them.
Did you
them.
Hear what the twins' names were supposed to be?
Alpha and Sika.
Their mama said, no, you're not.
Solo was the only one that got it. Solo.
Yep. His middle name, Yokozuna.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Wait, he's their cousin or uncle or something? Yeah.
Yokozuna is the uncle.
Yeah. Hey, but I like the fact that you get to see my twin brother in a humbling way.
Yeah.
Yes. Without all the gas and the brake and no brakes.
Yeah.
He actually had brakes with no gas.
Because listen, when Jacob got to praying, he said, "Listen, we gonna do it like Nana did, and let's go ahead and bless this food." When that man gave that prayer, I prayed with him. I had me a nice old plate.
Probably almost ready to cry.
yeah, man. I'm telling you.
I mean, yes. Like, hey, look, just to even hear, to see Jay talk, like, in a way of acknowledgement of what, how Roman did with, how the things that Roman, the whole thing was Roman Reigns' idea. He set out to put all the chips to fall into place the way like they are right now in the WWE as far as the bloodline. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't about him being the focal point.
No,
he wanted to. He knew
if, family.
Yeah, he knew with him being the focal point, I can uplift them and make them better than what they thought they were. And now you start. Now you're seeing it with Jay.
Right.
Jimmy. Right. Sammy. You know, like now with Jacob. And Jacob was like, man, I had it. It was wrestling or jail.
Yeah.
So he went but back into the family business.
I also loved how they broke down the family tree. I so loved that.
I didn't see that part yet.
Yeah, they acknowledged that Peter Maivia, which is The Rock's grandfather, he was the one that started it. And of course, you know, his grandmother, well, their grandmother, Peter Maivia's wife, she was the promoter. So when they broke it down, they broke down how everybody ended up getting in line. So you had Peter Maivia, then turn around, you had Afa and Sika. Then you turn around, you had the Tonga Kid. Then you had Rikishi. Then you had Umaga.
Man, now when they talk about now Umaga was Umaga was the prized possession of the family.
Yeah.
Real talk.
Yeah, I loved him when he was Rosie because it showed that
fun side of him.
Yes.
And that's yes. Man. It's just so crazy to just sit there and watch all that, man. And it's so deep that they could have a women's bloodline themselves. A women's faction of the bloodline.
And
that's so really, many of I them.
I think that the WWE may be getting ready to capitalize on that.
Because you just seen Nia and Trinity and Naomi tag team last night.
That's two. Then it's a set of twins that's on the circuit. That's on the independent circuit, who is also related to
Dilla
and all them.
Yeah.
Those two broads is
yeah. Now
they are beasts.
It's so crazy because like Zilla like the most anticipated one. Yes. Like bro, like his fight. It's so crazy.
Listen, I am waiting to see Zilla because I'm ready to see him and Jacob Fatu team up.
Because
you thought they were bad. They was a bad tag team.
Yeah, they was tough.
In the circuit, I'm waiting to see them as a tag team. I'm waiting to see them as a tag team. And honestly, I'm waiting for Penta and Rey Fénix. When they become a tag team. I'm ready for them to.
Did you hear about the rumblings of the new Shield that Roman might be getting ready to create?
I don't think they're ready.
It's going to be him. What's his name? Hakui or?
Hikulio, I think.
Hikulio
and I think Jimmy.
Speaking of Jimmy Uso, all right. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, tell me why R-Truth really must be on something because during the backstage,
last night,
talking about like he goes up to Randy Orton. Randy Orton looking like seriously, talking about like yeah, John Cena's the last real champion, and Jimmy had to come step in like, bro, what are you doing? I thought it was kind of hilarious.
How we getting home?
That's why it's so magically. Oh, okay, Leah Boss.
So I just thought that backstage segment was kind of funny. R-Truth, man, I tell you.
But what do you do with Jimmy right now since... Yeah,
right now... I think
Jimmy about to become the Uso version of the Miz?
I
out of that.
Mm-mm.
Now, speaking of the Miz, did you happen to notice the disgust look on Carmelo's face when he got pinned? When the Miz got pinned by Aleister Black? Did you happen to catch that look on his face?
Well, no. Did you catch the look that Carmelo thought he was going to thinking that he was going to sneak Aleister Black?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Hey, bruh. How you turn Miz move into a cartwheel, though?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
What? That was...
it was creative.
But the look on Miz's face was priceless.
Yeah. Hey, one thing I have learned from looking at... I did look at Miz's biography. He is a showman. That's why they can't... That's why they won't get rid of him. It's gonna be a show.
Oh, they need it for entertainment.
But see, that's the thing. He was entertainment when he started, but then some way he got serious enough for them to take him serious as a wrestler. Because remember, it took that man 6 years to be able to come in the locker room with all the other wrestlers. For the first 6 years of his career, this man had to change in janitor closets and things like that. He was not welcome in the locker room. Until he took Undertaker to the wire in a match and earned Undertaker respect. And the Undertaker was the reason he got back into the locker room.
Yeah. You had to show yourself approved.
Because remember, all they thought of him was a real, what was it? What was the show back in the day on MTV?
The Real World.
Yeah, The Real World. That's all he was to them. He was a gimmick to them. Like, that shit, it's crazy. But he a showman of the show. Like, he, for somehow, some way, he's the most irrelevant, relevant person on the show.
Yeah. But he's the man, 50 grand, though. I got to give him credit.
What?
You have to.
Yeah.
The man works. And then on top of that, you know, he kept his reality show going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It
was good for a few seasons.
Yeah, the Miz and Mrs. Yeah.
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 But look, crazy thing is, he was the first one that they gave a reality show to. Then you seen Eric, now you starting to see a lot of other wrestlers doing it.
Oh, like what? Actually, what Montez?
No. Actually, it was Cena.
It was Total Divas first.
Yeah, but I'm talking about like relationship wise. But then I forgot about John Cena and Daniel Bryan being on with the Bellas.
Yeah, because they was on Total Divas at first, and then that's how Nikki and Brie ended up getting their spinoff.
But man, I ain't even think that. And Daniel Bryan still married to his Bella.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We not gonna talk about the other one.
That shit was sailed.
I think it was a little bit more to that domestic violence suit, especially if he called the police and then he's the one that actually got
assaulted
to jail. So I think it's a little bit more to that.
Oh, there always is always more to the story than what's being told. That's how it always is.
But do we see Randy Orton punching John Cena head off and winning the chip? I do not believe so at Backlash.
Speaking of which, of all the robberies between them two, there was never this is the first time that we actually had the roles in reverse. That Cena is a heel and Randy's a face. Because all the other times they faced each other, it was the other way around. Something else to
but think about. Something tells me in this match, you're going to get the face and the heel from Randy.
Well, that may sound like a pretty good idea.
I mean, it's already in the making. You've seen it. You've seen it on the first Raw after WrestleMania. The Viper strike as the show goes off.
He's gonna get seen. That's where he's going.
You gonna see a pretty face heel from Randy Orton.
And that's the thing, because even if he do this is one of those that you just can't boo, no matter what.
And this is a situation where, in Randy's eyes, damned if you do, damned if you don't.
And you know what? I don't blame him at all. You got to.
By any means necessary.
Look, all he was waiting for pretty much was to see the outcome of who was going to be the winner of the Cody and seeing the match anyway.
Oh, mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm sorry to say that finish was trash.
Yeah, it was terrible.
That finish was trash.
What was even more terrible was Cody walkout after the match. He sold it. He almost made me feel sorry for him. Mm.
But yeah, I mean, there were several finishes during WrestleMania. I didn't like it all, and I've said it on my post. But I say, has anybody noticed the first three matches were not? I mean, the way the finish ended was like, what's going on here? You know?
Oh, can you, wrestling guru, give me some insight on this Paul Heyman, Seth Rollins, and Bryan Breakker?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Oh, yes.
Oh. You know, they say that the devil wears a lot of masks.
Well, we know Heyman do.
The best manipulator in the game.
Yes. You know, and the sad part is at one point in time, the devil was also an angel. And you should have known that them horns was about to show up. Oh, no. And it was just a mess. I really don't even have no words for it.
That's right. I got it wrong.
He did a good job.
I got it wrong. CM Punk was going to be the third member of the new Shield with Roman.
I can see that.
Because, yeah, Paul Heyman, he screwed his wise man and his best friend.
Yeah.
Nobody seen that one coming. I didn't think it was going to happen.
I mean, he kind of screwed he kind of screwed the Beast, too, so...
He gave it away, though. He kind of gave it away to me in one of the Raws.
Mm-hmm.
With Seth, when Seth looked at him and said, now you owe me a favor.
Mm-hmm.
And the look on his face, to me, gave it away, like, because he didn't react with nothing. He just let it be. Like, okay. Yeah. Like, he gave that, thank you, Lord. I ain't get my head kicked in type of look like. And it was a look like, okay, you saved me.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just like.
But he played it to the T.
He did.
Oh, yeah, Paul Heyman, man. It's like, now, if you were to ask who will be the greatest manager of all time as far as, you know, manipulations, how they done behind the scenes, I'll give you three nominees. Paul Heyman. I'll have to go with Paul Heyman, too. But just for fun, I got to throw Mills Boy in there because he even asked me this question once. Who would you interview? And I think you said Jim Cornette was one of them, wasn't it? Yeah. It was. Jim Cornette. Or I would throw in the real old school name in there. James J. Dillon.
I don't even know who that is.
But Shauna
the
knows.
Original. The original Four Horsemen.
Uh-huh.
I probably would. Just for poops and giggles, I like to interview Bobby Heenan.
Hey.
Oh yeah.
Hey, he was. I used to love his energy. You get him hype. You see the blonde hair flopping.
Oh, especially him and Gorilla Monsoon. Yes. All the time.
Hey.
All the time. On the commentary table. In the studio. I mean, Gorilla was giving him a lot of heat. But I mean, but the people that Bobby Heenan managed, you know, he took
over. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That is a very valid argument though.
I never understood why he wanted to manage Ravishing Rick Rude.
Cause he was the hottest.
Come on, man.
Look.
Hey, man.
I had to turn my TV every time he wanted to do his move.
Listen.
Yeah, like, I didn't want to see nobody, no man gyrating his hip.
Listen. Bobby Heenan sold him.
Yes, he did. He did. He did a great job.
To no degree. Now, he didn't sell him good enough when he tried to do it to Jake the Snake's wife.
that was, if you read my mind on that one. Dude.
Hey, that was my favorite wrestler back in the day.
Well, listen, that was my favorite.
Jake the Snake was my favorite wrestler, bro.
Oh, man.
That was that one time you felt like wrestling was so real when Ravishing Rick Rude was like, well, who's your husband? And she said, Jake the Snake Roberts. And then he was started to talk mess, and then she tried to slap him. He grabbed her arm, and he was like, da-da-da-da-da. And then next thing you know, you just saw Jake the Snake running. Boop. That was it right there. And it was just on from there. That's when you thought it was real. Like, oh my gosh. Look at him go. Look at him go.
Well, I'm telling you now. You couldn't have never paid me enough money to let somebody put a live snake on me.
Man, you got paid extra.
It is not enough extra in the world.
Now listen.
Macho Man.
That was gonna be my next point.
Because that snake bit him.
That was my next point.
He was hot.
Yeah.
He was hot. He was like, "Nah, that snake bit me for real."
Yeah.
And you seen it?
Yeah. It latched on, and you seen the teeth repel back.
Yeah.
Man, yes.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Hey. You ain't never seen Andre the Giant run so fast in his life.
Man.
I knew that was a real scared man of a snake because I would have did the same thing.
Yes, God.
Won't no faking about that. When Jake brung that snake and Andre said, okay, you
gotta
got
go.
It. You got it.
He
single-handedly won almost a WrestleMania without throwing the snake in the ring. Clearing the ring.
He forever cleared the ring.
Yes. And he ain't like snakes the crazy thing about it. For real. But ain't nowhere in the world. You could pay me a note. Nope. It's not an amount of money in the world that you could pay me for. No. It's a HE double hockey sticks note.
Oh, so that's how many notes. I can dig that. I can dig it. I can definitely dig that.
I can look at them all day long on TV, but put it in me to see it with my own two eyes. Not gonna happen.
I I can dig that.
So, how long y'all think Tiffany Time gonna hold on to that belt?
I don't know, because Jay looking like she ready to collect some more.
Yeah. You think they pushing it for Jade now? But that could be a that could be a great rivalry.
It could be, but I don't think they're ready for Jade. Because again, to me, Jade is good. She is a banger.
She just ain't a finished product as a wrestler yet.
No. She is a Bill Goldberg to me.
I don't know. I think she got a little bit better. She got better since her return.
She still can't wrestle like talking about.
She look a little bit better since her return.
I'm not
sold on the wrestling part. I'm not.
But I guess because I watched her in AEW.
Yeah,
they sold her as a Goldberg replica. Like, she get in the ring. She's going to give you no more than 5 minutes. And then, bam, you done. And she jaded you. And she was out. Yeah. She had a streak in AEW.
Yeah,
why I said she's more of a Bill Goldberg to me. Because I feel like that's how they geared her up at first at AEW. And then when she goes to a whole different promotion, they're trying to condition you. But you still got a little bit of that Goldberg in you.
Hey, look, strange thing. You said his name. You said his name. WWE was Bron Breakker character really was supposed to be based off of Goldberg character. I seen that today. Interview with Goldberg sometime earlier this morning. Flashing through Instagram. And he was like, because Bron Breakker had the same Goldberg tattoo and then he got it covered up. And he worked with the same trainer that trained Goldberg.
Right.
And he was like, and some of his moves. And Goldberg
moves. Now, at that part, I definitely agree with you. He does have that, you would think he would come in like that, but that was only if nobody knew who he was actually related to.
Yeah.
But now that everybody knows who his father and his uncle is, man, that it kind of changes the entire dynamic. Because the moves that Braun is doing, you done did the Frankensteiner on top of the top rope, and you know, you doing Scott's moves.
You barking like your daddy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So all of that is starting to come together. Even though I'm going to say Big Papa Pump had a bad reputation with the WWE.
Big bad booty daddy.
Hey, I watched him. He said you ain't going to tell me what to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's still on it. And even during the Hall of Fame, it took his brother to say, hey, your mic time got to be short.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Point blank and period.
I watched their jump. I watched their biography. Hey. It was crazy because he really was like, I had to find a way to humble myself for a little bit of time because, like she said, if his brother didn't stop him, when he stopped him, oh, he was about to let the WWE have it on that mic.
He was about
to destroy his nephew's career before it really got started.
Yeah, so he had to tell him. He was like, listen, this is Braun's moment. We're not going to overshadow it with no controversy. And actually looking at Rick and Scott, you would think that Scott would be the humble one when it's actually Rick.
Yeah. That man a real estate agent now. He chilling. I sell houses. I might bark every once in a while.
That's okay though, but his son is doing all the barking now here it is.
He lied. He in line. Look how the stars line up for his son.
But you know what though?
Because with the right two people right now in his career that can take him next level.
And speaking of
Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins.
Here's the thing, though. Don't be surprised. And I even heard rumblings. Now, the next WrestleMania is going to be in New Orleans. All right?
Yep.
So, I'm thinking that the biggest breakout stars for next year is going to be Bron Breakker and yourself, Omar, your twin brother, Jacob Fatu.
No, I got one for you. I got a crazy prediction. For next year's, one of the headline main event fights for a belt next year in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. Just because of the crazy work of the wise man, and we know how he moves.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins aligned himself up with Paul Heyman because Paul Heyman is the only person that can get him to that belt again. For him to be the man.
Yeah, if you want to be the man, you got to be able to beat the man.
After that, Seth Rollins gets the belt. He starts treating Bron Breakker like a lackey. By the time WrestleMania around, and just say so happens, Seth Rollins has the belt back going into the WrestleMania in New Orleans.
Go ahead, keep cooking. Go ahead.
By that time, that faction with Rollins, Heyman, and Breakker might break up.
It's going to, yeah.
And then, okay, Bron Breakker going to win the Royal Rumble. Go after Seth and win the belt.
That sounds very intriguing.
And just for cookies and milk.
Yeah.
My milk and cookies.
CM Punk takes out the wise man when he tries to help Seth Rollins retain the belt. Now, if that happened, don't ask me where I got it from, please.
Now, you know what? I could see this, actually, based on what you just said, because, for one, I don't think the faction's going to last very long. And I would say, yeah, I'd give it about a year. Before something...
All right.
And I do agree with you on something else. When you say, because they mentioned in one of the dirt sheets that, are they going to bury Bron Breakker at some point, have him losing matches left and right.
Okay, guys. Guys, I hate to do this. I really do.
But
it's 3:00. So,
I
know we got to put a pin in wrestling. We're going to have to get back to this. Can we do this next week? Can we do this next
week? Well, it's Mother's Day weekend.
It's Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be kind of rough.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. Oh,
But you know what? We should be able to do it. It's only an hour. We should be able to do it.
Then I can
get back to being pampered. It's fine.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And I want to be the first one to tell you happy
Mother's Day.
Oh, thank y'all so much.
You know what I told? Hey, you wouldn't know what I said I was going to get my mama for Mother's Day?
What's that?
What you going to get her?
Her name tattooed on me.
Oh.
She said,
"That's the sweetest form of flattery."
She loved it.
That's good.
I went in there with it as a joke to her. I was like, "Guess what I'm gonna do for you for Mother's Day?" She was like, "What?" I said, "I'm gonna get your name tattooed on me." She's like, "Are you serious? Are you?" I said, "Yeah, it's time."
Well, that's good. That's good.
Well, so. So Emil, since he got you know, his kid's name, I'm surprised he didn't get his mama's name neither.
Different ways. My mom was against tattoos, so
yeah.
I still wear her ashes around my neck.
Well, that's still I can dig that.
So
all right, fellas. Well, I'm not gonna hold you all. Until next week.
Yes,
we'll see who got the last smack of the downs.
Oh, that's right. It's ongoing. And the thing is, we want to talk about WrestleMania in New Orleans. We're going to segue into the... I got a perfect segue for it because we talked about it earlier this week. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Krishana Freeman, our wrestling guru. As we talk about where WrestleMania could be at, one of the places I'm excited about, ironically, is Washington.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm going to
say. Yeah.
When they build that new stadium, we got to be in that joint. I'm sorry.
Hey, we going back home.
Yes.
We going
I'm telling you right now, when Washington builds this new stadium, there's going to be all kinds of new
attractions. It's
going to
be a WrestleMania.
It's going to be a Super Bowl there. It's going to be All-Star Weekend in that game.
Hey, how ironic would it be if Gabe Taylor actually makes the roster?
It's going to be Final Four. It's going down up in that game.
Can you imagine Sean Taylor, brother, actually making our roster, bro? And he got talent.
And what
he
made it. Now it's all about the impact he can. Now it's all about the impact he can make. He's got to make, you know, like you say, he got to make the squad now. His dreams come true. Hey, it's time to put boots to the ground for him now.
Hey,
that's a lot of pressure. Even though he went undrafted. That's still a lot of pressure to try to make this team, because if you go undrafted, automatically you think you're not going to make the roster. You're starting off on that tier.
Man, you playing with house money. You playing with house money, free money. I'm going out there with reckless abandonment and playing my and giving it all I got to make the team.
You decapitating folks, you taking folks' head off.
I'm breaking up plays. If you end up on the bad side of one of them jumps, it ain't my fault.
All gas, no brakes for that, huh?
Yeah. I got undrafted. Like, I'm basically everybody else that's on this squad getting some type of money while they in practice. Even the seventh round draft pick, they getting paid somehow because they got drafted.
Even Mr. Irrelevant.
I got invited. I got to go out there all gas, no brakes. And I got single-handedly, maybe, if his career wasn't cut short, you're looking at the greatest cornerback of all times.
Who was that?
If Sean Taylor wouldn't have got killed, we might.
I thought he was a safety.
Safety, whatever.
That's a tough role to be in. Of course you got your greats.
In 5 years, by the end of his career, if it would have been a long career, you're looking at one of the best all time.
I can see that.
Yeah.
But how's your safety class? How's your safety room looking right now? Let's start there. How's your safety room looking right now? How's the Washington Commander safety room looking right now?
It look all right. I don't know what players. I know we got what. Safety from we signed the safety
we
from
signed,
the safety from the Saints.
Amos, I think.
Ole Miss?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, it's young one. They say he already making an impact in practice, and I don't know. Like, it's gonna be a tough task for him, but he'll be one of them players that in preseason games he gonna see this field a lot more than anybody else. To try to make an impact and to make an impression and get a spot.
He'll have his opportunities, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
He'll have his opportunities. Y'all have Jeremy Chin, don't know.
Uh-uh. That's why we got the boy. We signed the boy from that played for the Saints. Will Thomas or something.
Y'all still got Lattimore? Y'all stuck with
Lattimore. Yeah, we got Lattimore. But see, that's why we got old boy from Ole Miss. He gonna play.
Yeah,
I think he's gonna play on the outside of Lattimore, so
how much Marshawn Lattimore contract is going to play into that?
I think they're already trying to shop him.
Yeah, but my question to you is, and this does happen. This is a real thing. How much playing time is going to be forced upon Marshawn Lattimore due to his contract?
Oh, he got to be available for all 16. He got to be available.
Yeah,
for
but the whole year. Yeah, but he don't have to be on the field.
Are you talking about as far as staying healthy?
Healthy scratch.
Oh no, we can't do nothing with healthy scratches.
No, I mean, if you're available, man, just make sure you when your number's called.
I mean, how much do you want him on the field?
Oh, all game long,
all the time.
He need to be on the game in the game all game long. I mean, since you want to go back to your, since you want to switch your number up and everything, you going back to your college number. So, if you're doing that. Yeah, you making a statement. You saying what it's going to be this year. Like, you going back to lockdown type stuff.
Right. Right.
So, yeah, I need you to be everything that number that you was when you wore that number.
All right, who else you got outside of, what's he got, in Sarin Steele?
But with the boy that we drafted, we can get Sanders Steele back into the slot. Okay. In that third corner position.
Okay.
Like, where we like him at.
I understand the direction. I thought y'all drafted him to take over for Marshawn Lattimore.
No.
Yeah. Since y'all trying to shop him. That's why I was asking.
No. We going to keep him. But we knew that we needed, they never wanted going into this season to line Sanderstall up. Mike
outside.
Yeah. They wanted to keep him inside. They wanted to keep him inside. So that's the corner that they wanted, that we wanted. Pretty much we got every, like I said when we talked on the phone. I like this draft class and what we done this year in this draft because we took care of the needs and not the wants.
And you know what's crazy? I was thinking about this last night while I was sitting on the toilet. There's no draft strategy that you can repeat. Each year when you go into the draft strategy has to be different. Or if not, if you keep the same strategy, you're going to have the same holes to fill year in, year out. You're not going to be able to evolve as a team because you're always going to have a problem.
Hey, look. Like you said. But you know what?